This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Okay, so imagine this. You just spent, I don't know, $100,000 on a brand new, visually stunning corporate website.
Oh, yeah. We see this all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Your team has spent literally months on it. You finally launch it, you pop the champagne, and you're just waiting for the leads to pour in.
Just watching the inbox.
Exactly. But then, like 3 weeks later, your organic traffic has completely vanished, your contact forms are somehow broken, and you are bleeding thousands of dollars in ad budget on totally dead landing pages.
It is a complete nightmare scenario.
It really is. So today, we are doing a deep dive into exactly why unmanaged website redesigns routinely trigger this massive, like 20 to 40% loss in organic visibility and lead generation.
And crucially, how to stop it from happening.
Right. We're looking at a highly specific engineering strategy called redesign risk protection. It basically prevents your shiny new digital storefront from completely sabotaging your pipeline.
Yeah, because it is devastating when a leadership team expects this massive catalyst for growth, but instead, they accidentally authorize the demolition of their own digital infrastructure.
Yeah. Demolition is a good word for it. And for our sources today, we're drawing from a really comprehensive guide by Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Written by Sunny Day, yeah. And as a quick aside, Sunny is a WordPress and WooCommerce expert, but he actually spends his downtime climbing mountains for days at a time.
Which is pretty intense.
It is, but it's a very fitting parallel, right? Because surviving a high-altitude climb and surviving an enterprise website migration, they both require this intense, rigorous level of preparation that is just completely invisible to someone looking at the mountain from the ground.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
And that invisible preparation is exactly what we need to focus on today. Because a company invests in, you know, fresh branding, sleeker layouts, assuming a better-looking site inherently performs better.
Right. They think pretty equals profitable.
Exactly. But okay, let's unpack this. The source uses this striking analogy for what actually happens under the hood. It says that after these redesigns, many websites collect leads the way a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in.
That is painfully accurate.
So it's like buying a beautiful new sports car but forgetting to transfer the engine from the old one. If the new site looks 10 times better and it loads faster, why are we suddenly dealing with a bottomless bucket?
Well, it's because search engines, and especially conversational AI crawlers, they do not evaluate your website based on visual design.
They don't care how pretty it is.
Not at all. They do not care about your refined color palette or the kerning on your new typography or, you know, how cinematic your homepage video header is.
Right.
What they actually evaluate are back-end data structures, historical URL paths, and internal link equity.
The invisible stuff.
Exactly. And standard design agencies are fundamentally built to treat website overhauls purely as creative projects. They focus on human aesthetics, which means they often completely ignore the complex technical handoff required behind the scenes to preserve all that machine-readable architecture.
So a design agency is basically painting the house, but in the process, they accidentally knock out all the load-bearing walls because they just didn't consult an engineer.
That's exactly it.
And if we look at the modern era, if search engines don't care about visuals, what do they care about? Because given where we are in 2026, this structural integrity is more critical than ever.
Oh, absolutely.
We aren't just dealing with traditional search engines returning a list of blue links anymore. We have conversational AI engines like ChatGPT and Google Gemini natively synthesizing the entire internet.
What's fascinating here is how traditional search volume is totally shifting. We are in an era where those AI engines natively answer a prospective buyer's prompt before that user ever clicks a single link.
Right, you just ask a question and get the answer in the chat.
Exactly. The AI crawls the web, digests the structured information, and synthesizes a definitive answer right there. So for a business to be presented as the definitive solution by an AI, it absolutely must retain its historical search authority.
And if a redesign breaks the back-end structure,
then we aren't just dropping a few spots in Google rank. When a creative redesign arbitrarily changes page URLs or strips out technical code without proper mapping, these AI crawlers treat your site as a brand new entity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they wipe out years of accumulated algorithmic trust. You are actively being erased from the AI's memory.
That's terrifying. And for you, the business leader listening to this, the business implication here is massive. Because you don't need random web traffic. You need paying customers, right? The goal is an automated lead engine that works while you sleep. But if you lose that historical authority during a redesign, you are forced into renting temporary growth.
Which is so expensive.
Exactly. You end up having to pour massive amounts of capital into these uncalibrated ad campaigns just to buy back the traffic you used to get for free, rather than owning an asset that natively drives organic growth.
And that shift from owning your traffic to renting it is the exact crisis this Double Dome guide aims to solve.
Okay, so how do we actually fix the leaky bucket? Let's get into the redesign risk protection checklist.
Okay, so there are 6 parts. And the very first requirement, Protocol 1, deals with the most fundamental building blocks of your site's history, which is the 1-to-1 301 redirect architecture.
Okay, 1-to-1 redirect.
Yes. Before you even think about launching, you have to audit every single legacy URL on your existing domain using an advanced site crawler.
Every single one.
Every single one. You have to find every obscure service page, every 5-year-old blog post, every author archive, and then you must map each of those old URL paths directly to its exact specific equivalent on the new website.
Okay. I get that we can't just leave those links broken, but mapping thousands of URLs one by one sounds incredibly tedious.
It is tedious, yeah.
So why can't I just take the easy route? Like with modern CMS platforms, why not just use a wildcard redirect rule and dump all the old broken links onto the new homepage?
Oh, I see this all the time.
Right, because the user still ends up on the site and we save a week of developer time.
You might save a week of developer time, but you will instantly destroy your targeted keyword rankings. Instantly.
Wait, really? Why?
Because you have to think of a specific URL, like a specialized street address, that has built up a highly localized reputation over years. Let's say you have a legacy page specifically dedicated to, I don't know, commercial plumbing installation.
Okay, commercial plumbing.
That specific URL has accumulated backlinks, user engagement metrics, and topical authority over time. If a search crawler looks for that specific page and you use a blanket rule to redirect it to your generic corporate homepage,
you're signaling that the specialized knowledge is gone.
Exactly.
Mm.
The search engine loses the contextual relevance. The AI loses the depth of expertise because the homepage is just a general directory, not a specific answer.
Right. It's like saying, we threw all our detailed encyclopedias in the trash, but hey, here is our front door instead.
Yes. And the crawler will instantly devalue that traffic. You have to map them 1-to-1, plumbing to plumbing, consulting to consulting, so that the specific historical link equity transfers seamlessly to the new domain structure.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So mapping the URLs preserves the pathways for human users and traditional search spiders. But Protocol 2 is about giving directions to conversational AI, right? Which requires a totally different language.
Right. This is where we get into migrating the structured JSON-LD data.
Yes. Schema blocks. Here's where it gets really interesting to me. We know AI engines need this, but mechanically, what is this data actually doing beneath the surface?
So JSON-LD structured data, or schema markup, it essentially acts as a highly organized, standardized filing system for AI assistance.
Okay.
When an AI like Gemini crawls a standard paragraph of marketing text on a website, it has to use natural language processing to guess what that text means. But schema markup removes the guesswork completely.
It just tells it what it is.
Exactly. It is hidden code that explicitly tags elements on the page. It tells the AI, this specific string of numbers is a price, or this text block is a verified customer review.
Or these coordinates are our exact service radius.
Yes. It feeds the AI a perfectly formatted, undeniable data set about your business capabilities.
So by upgrading the visuals and launching a brand new design template, these creative agencies are unintentionally throwing a cloaking device over the site.
That is exactly what happens because this code is entirely invisible to the naked eye. So designers checking a staging site for visual bugs, they don't even realize it's missing.
Wow.
And if you don't actively copy, validate, and migrate all your existing schema blocks into the new architecture, you go totally dark to the AI. You lose your status as what the author calls the preferred answer.
So when a prospect asks ChatGPT for the best local B2B software provider, the AI just bypasses your beautiful new website.
Yeah, and it simply recommends a competitor who still has their machine-readable data intact.
It is terrifying to think you could spend 6 figures on a digital overhaul, only to be completely ignored by the most powerful search engines on the planet simply because a hidden script was left behind.
It happens every day.
But okay, keeping the AI happy is still only half the battle. Because if we perfectly map the URLs and we retain the AI's trust, none of that matters if a human user actually clicks through to the page and just gets confused.
Exactly. Getting a prospect onto the site is meaningless if they don't fill out a form or pick up the phone.
Which brings us to segment 3, and the tension between visual design and proven conversion psychology. Let's talk about Protocol 3.
Protocol 3 is high converting page element preservation. And this is a rule from the text that often sparks major conflict between creative directors and technical marketers.
I can imagine.
The guide explicitly warns that you should never alter the above the fold value messaging, the specific placement of trust badges, or the structure of form fields on pages that have historically generated qualified leads.
And you can totally see why designers would fight that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are hired to make a brand look fresh and modern, you want to strip away the clutter. A designer might look at a clunky 5-year-old lead form and a big ugly red submit button and want to replace it with a sleek minimalist hero section.
Sure, they want it to look cohesive. But if that specific headline and that specific clunky layout have been consistently convincing humans to hand over their contact information at a high conversion rate, changing it just for the sake of aesthetics is financial malpractice.
Financial malpractice, wow.
It really is. Visual updates should enhance the readability and accessibility of the page. They should absolutely never disrupt a psychological funnel that is already mathematically proven to work.
Right. Do not gamble with your top performing conversion assets just to make the branding feel more cohesive. Visuals shouldn't override what's proven.
No.
But okay, even if we preserve that psychology, and the user submits their information, we still have to figure out how that lead actually gets attributed to our marketing spend, which leads to Protocol 4, pre-go-live server-side tracking verification.
Yes, tracking attribution.
And there's a fantastic quote from the text here that I just have to read. It says, "Attribution can sometimes feel like a marketing game of Clue. Everyone has a theory, nobody is completely sure, and somehow Google Ads is always in the room."
I love that quote. It is a brilliant way to describe the absolute chaos of standard marketing attribution.
It really is.
Because think about it. When a high-value lead finally drops into the CRM, the SEO team claims their organic content drove it. The social media manager claims their recent post drove it. And Google Ads is almost always attempting to take credit for the conversion.
Right. Everyone wants credit.
It is a nightmare for a business leader trying to figure out where to allocate next quarter's budget. And standard redesigns almost always break the fragile tracking tags that are supposed to solve this mystery.
So before we even take this new site live, we have to verify the tracking on a staging server. But browser cookies are essentially failing in 2026, right?
Yeah.
Between privacy-focused browsers, ad blockers, OS updates, client-side tracking is incredibly unreliable.
Really unreliable, yeah.
So how does this redesigned risk protection protocol actually fits the attribution game of Clue?
By entirely bypassing the user's web browser and implementing server-side offline conversion tracking, commonly known as OCI.
Okay, bypass the browser entirely.
Exactly. Instead of relying on a fragile browser cookie that can easily be blocked or deleted by a user's device, server-side tracking takes control of the data flow.
How does that work mechanically?
So when a lead fills out a form or triggers a phone call, your server encrypts that milestone data and routes the payload directly from your backend server to the marketing platform server, like the Google Ads API, for example.
Oh, I see. So server-side tracking essentially proves it was Google Ads in the digital pipeline with the mobile click.
Ha, exactly. There is no guesswork. And the ad blocker can't stop the server-to-server communication. It creates an unbreakable, highly secure chain of attribution.
That's huge. You verify exactly which digital investment generated the growth profit on the back end without ever relying on the user's browser to tell you the truth.
Precisely.
Okay, so we have mapped the legacy architecture. We have injected the machine-readable schema for the AI. We have preserved the psychological conversion elements on the front end. And we have hardwired the server-side tracking.
The staging environment is bulletproof.
Bulletproof. Which brings us to launch day. But the guide makes a very clear point. Hitting the go live button isn't a finish line.
No, not at all.
It is a starting gun for a highly sensitive operational window. Let's look at Protocol 5.
Yes. The moment you flip the switch, an entirely new sequence of technical protocols has to trigger immediately. And timing is absolutely critical here, specifically regarding DNS propagation.
DNS propagation.
Right, which is the literal window of time where global servers update their directories to point your domain name to the new website's IP address.
Okay.
Within minutes of that propagation completing, you must submit your updated XML sitemap directly to Google Search Console and Bing Webmaster Tools.
Wait, let's break down the mechanics of that. Why, within minutes, if search engines are constantly crawling the web anyway, Why can't we just let them stumble upon the new site naturally over the next few days?
Because if you let them stumble upon it naturally, you are completely surrendering control of the narrative.
Oh, so?
Well, when a crawler arrives at a domain and suddenly finds an entirely new site architecture without a map, it gets confused. It has to expend a massive amount of computational energy trying to figure out where all the old pages went and how the new hierarchy functions.
And if it guesses wrong?
If it guesses incorrectly, it will penalize your rankings for instability.
Oh, wow.
But by proactively submitting the XML sitemap immediately, you are essentially handing the crawler a perfectly structured relational database of your new architecture.
So you're saying, here is the exact blueprint of the new house, here is exactly where everything moved, and here are the timestamps for the new content. Index this immediately.
Exactly. You are dictating the terms to the machine rather than hoping the machine figures it out on its own. It radically accelerates the reindexing process.
Okay, but the launch day execution isn't the end of it either, because Protocol 6 specifically mandates a 30-day post-launch trigger window. What exactly are we looking for in that first month?
You are looking for the microscopic cracks in the foundation before they can compound into massive sinkholes.
Right.
For the first 30 days post-launch, your technical team cannot take their eyes off the server logs. They must monitor crawl error reports, server status codes, and daily keyword rank fluctuations.
So they're actively hunting for bugs.
Yes, you set up automated alert triggers so that if a newly migrated page suddenly starts returning a 404 error, or if a specific high-value backlink breaks, the engineering team is notified instantly.
And they can fix it right then.
Exactly. They patch the server response code before the search engine permanently downgrades the page's authority.
It is active triage. You do not just launch the site and go on vacation.
Definitely not.
So, stepping back to look at this entire highly technical framework, what does this all mean? If we contrast a standard creative agency against an engineering team running this specific risk-protected protocol, what is the ultimate difference in the deliverable for the executive team?
It fundamentally comes down to the standard of performance and the transparency of the reporting.
Okay.
A standard design agency operates on what is essentially a high-loss model. They use wildcard redirects that destroy keyword relevance. They unintentionally strip out the schema code, dropping your brand out of the AI recommendation engine.
And then the traffic drops.
Right. And when the organic traffic inevitably plummets by 30%, their standard reporting mechanism is usually an abstract PDF deck full of marketing jargon, attempting to explain away the massive losses as temporary algorithmic fluctuations.
So they basically hand you a very nicely formatted excuse for why the pipeline dried up.
Pretty much. But a team utilizing the redesigned risk protection standard operates entirely on preserving and compounding historical authority.
Right.
They execute the complete one-to-one redirect mapping. They migrate the JSON-LD schema blocks to strictly maintain your preferred answer status. And most importantly, the reporting standard for a CEO is not a jargon-filled PDF.
What is it then?
It is a simple, unequivocal dashboard that says, I spent X amount of dollars on this campaign, and our server-side tracking proves that these specific systems generated Y amount in gross pipeline revenue. It eliminates the fluff entirely.
I love that. And, you know, the author leaves us with an analogy at the end of the guide that I think perfectly encapsulates the stakes of this entire operation.
The orchard analogy, guys.
Yes. If I connect this to the bigger picture, he compares managing technical SEO to cultivating an orchard.
Yeah, he writes, SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries. The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
Exactly. When you execute a standard unmanaged redesign, you are essentially taking a chainsaw to a mature, fruit-bearing orchard just because you want to plant new seeds in a prettier pattern.
And then you stand around wondering why you don't have any apples to sell that season.
Exactly. Redesign risk protection is the science of safely uprooting that mature orchard and painstakingly transplanting it into better, more fertile soil without losing a single branch or breaking a single root.
It requires an immense amount of precision.
But it guarantees that you continue yielding results on day one.
It is the only way to guarantee that a visual upgrade actually translates into a financial upgrade. You are protecting the asset that feeds the company.
Absolutely. And for you, the listener, the overarching application here is really about how you scale your enterprise and manage your time.
Because your time is incredibly valuable.
Exactly. As a business leader navigating 2026, playing amateur web developer, trying to configure redirect maps, or sifting through server logs, it is a profoundly inefficient use of your strategic focus.
You need to eliminate the technical jargon.
Right. You need to stop renting temporary traffic loops from ad platforms just to cover up the fact that your new website is structurally broken.
Yeah.
You want a specialized team that handles this back-end technical handoff so you can claim complete ownership of a digital asset that acts as an unyielding, sustainable growth engine. You manage the company's vision. The technical systems manage the automated lead generation.
That is exactly the dynamic required to drive sustainable profitability in this complex landscape. You just cannot afford to let aesthetics compromise your architecture.
Well said. We have covered a massive amount of ground today. From the dangers of wildcard redirects and the nitty-gritty of server-side tracking to the absolute necessity of machine-readable schema for AI crawlers. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the hidden risks of website redesigns.
It's been a great conversation.
But before we go, I want to leave you with one final, slightly provocative thought to mull over.
Oh, I'm curious.
We have talked extensively today about how conversational AI engines, like ChatGPT and Gemini, are completely bypassing visual design. They do not look at your color palettes or your layouts. They strictly scrape structured JSON-LD data to deliver the definitive answer natively within their own chat interfaces.
True.
So if that trend continues to accelerate and AI becomes the absolute primary method by which humans search for and procure enterprise services, will the corporate website of the future eventually stop needing a visual front end altogether?
Wow.
Will we reach a point in the near future where your expensive corporate website exists purely as a perfectly optimized, entirely invisible stream of structured data waiting in the dark on a server for an AI to read it with no human UI at all? Think about that the next time you look at a shiny new homepage design. Until next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.